Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Fun talking with Darren Bush about snowshoeing and about Canucopia. I should mention, by the way, of full disclosure, Rutabaga Paddle Sports is one of Wisconsin Public Radio's many business sponsors. So I wanted to make sure to mention that. And I tell you what, because Darren did not know about the Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge, I am betting that a lot of you who are listening, and there's many thousands of you, are also unfamiliar with it. And so this is perfect, a great time to talk about it here on the show. There are a number of wildlife refuges in Wisconsin, and the Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge is one of them. Our guests are with the Friends of Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge Board of Directors. Vince Mosca is also the senior principal ecologist at Hay & Associates Incorporated, and he's been involved in the wetland-related sciences for over 32 years. Vince Mosca, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Larry.
Great to have you here as well. Stephen Byers is the former field representative for the Illinois Nature Preserves Commission. Steve, welcome to you.
Thank you, Larry.
And welcome as well to Nancy Williamson. They've been a grants administrator for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Nancy, again, thank you for joining in.
Thanks for having us.
So as we talk about National Wildlife Refuges and Hackmatack in particular, I wonder if you've visited any of our National Wildlife Refuges. What do you enjoy about them? Join in the conversation. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email, the email address ideas@WPR.org, WPR.org. Please feel free to join in. Vince, you know what? I think we should just first maybe have you explain what a National Wildlife Refuge is.
Well, so it's a federal designation. And so like Horicon National Wildlife Refuge, it's an assemblage of lands, usually of varying habitat types. Sometimes they start out as protecting a prairie or a wetland area, but it's an assemblage of lands that are protected in perpetuity for designated uses. You can allow hunting and fishing, a lot of passive recreation, but it's intended to lock up open space areas for long-term protection throughout the United States.
And where is Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge located?
Roughly just south of Lake Geneva in Walworth County and north of McHenry, Illinois, in McHenry County, mm-hmm. Illinois.
And where the heck does the name come from?
It's a Native American name for the tamarack tree.
Oh, okay. So we're going to find some tamarack trees in Hackmatack.
There are some. We're on the southern range of their natural range, but we do have some in the region.
Larry, this is Steve. You might invite your listeners to just follow along and verbalize or say Hackmatack. It kind of rhymes with a Big Mac attack, but it's Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge. And that's a good way for people to remember the name of the refuge. And as Vince mentioned earlier, the origins. Name for it, the tamarack tree.
That is really cool. Steve, how long did it take for the area to become an official refuge?
Well, that's a long and convoluted story. I think we'd need to be on for several hours here this afternoon, Larry. But the long and the short of it is that a group of individuals gathered in about 2004 to begin to think about how we could bring additional resources to bear to protect the natural resources of McHenry County extending up into to Wisconsin. And from there, then a lot of ideas flew back and forth, and eventually the group settled on the idea, preposterous as it sounds, of bringing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service into the picture and perhaps a dream at that point of establishing Hakmatack National Wildlife Refuge. I'd like to just share with your listeners a quote from Carl Sandburg, and it's, nothing happens unless first a dream. And so many of us dreamed for quite a while about how we could protect additional land. Ultimately, we our gathered resources began to understand the process the Fish and Wildlife Service uses to establish a refuge and work cooperatively with them. I think probably the highlight of that effort was when we had four public meetings and received overwhelming support from the public for establishment of the refuge. And then the refuge was formally established in 2012.
And so that's a long process, you know, but actually when I think about it, it's pretty darn quick because we're talking about a lot of area here, aren't we, Nancy?
Yes. And we did not realize that we actually had a very short process compared to many national wildlife refuges. We were from this kind of, you know, urban suburban area, roughly between Rockford and Milwaukee and Chicago. And we said, we don't have a refuge. We'd like more landscape scale protection for the wildlife. We have an amazing variety of wildlife, even though, as one of our early founders, Ed Collins, says, we don't have the majesty of the mountains, but we do have the species. And so we looked at how we could put this together. In the Chicago area alone, in the seven county areas, between 1995 and 2005, people taxed themselves over $1 billion to have referendums to save open space. So we knew there was an understanding that people wanted to see open space preserved and natural areas and wildlife. So we started hunting around for how this happened in other places. And I'm sure you know this person, Ed Crozier from Minnesota Valley National Wildlife Refuge. He wrote a book called Dream Hunter. And Ed actually talked to me on the phone about his process. And we visited Minnesota Valley National Wildlife Refuge. And when I was there, it was a different manager. Ed had gone on to his other roles, his many other roles. But all I saw was the fish and wildlife lands on the map. And he goes, no, wait a minute. Let me show you what's really here. And he showed me the map of all the partnerships that were happening in that valley, the town parks, the wetland areas, the other entities that were managing collectively, including a business that had a big holding that was managing their lands with the refuge. And we were like, this is our model. We need to piece together a cohesive place with Fish and Wildlife and with our other agencies.
Yeah. You know, I think when, let's say me at least, but I bet a lot of other residents of our state would, when they think about a national wildlife refuge, they'd quickly think, as Vince mentioned, a Horicon, which is a large area mass all in kind of one spot, so to speak. Hakmatack is a little different, is it not?
Yes.
And I don't know, Vince, do you want to talk about that?
I'm going to defer that one to Steve because he was much more in the beginning of the design of the refuge
okay.
style.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, I think in many respects the template for the refuge is very similar to what Nancy just described for Minnesota Valley National Wildlife Refuge. With regard to Hakmatack, the Fish and Wildlife Service did identify a number of acres that they would like to protect as part of the refuge, but it builds upon lands that have already been protected, primarily by the McHenry County Conservation District, lands protected through conservation easements with the Land Conservancy of McHenry County, an early parcel acquired by Ducks Unlimited, and even Peterkin Pond, owned by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. So Hackmatack expands upon that framework of already protected lands, enlarges the core areas, and we can talk more about the value of large blocks of habitat, but also then provides for linkages along the South Branch and the North Branch of the Nipissing. And this is also important from a conservation biology perspective, allowing plants and animals to move from one location to another. But to getting back to your question, we really see this refuge as a coalition of lands protected by agencies, including the Fish and Wildlife Service. And right now, one of our land protection partners, Open Lands, owns a considerable number of properties as well that may ultimately go to one of our land protection partners or to the Fish and Wildlife Service. So it's a really it's a work in progress, a multi-generational effort. I think we like to tell people that your granddaughter could be the refuge manager someday.
Yeah. I'm wondering, was this whole process more difficult because you were in two states? It went across two states, and yes. Nancy, go ahead.
Yes, well, because it was a moving process, because we hope to attract U.S. Fish and Wildlife to do this assessment. I sometimes think they were actually kind of amused at us because we knew enough to just keep forging forward, but not enough sometimes. And we were working with two DNRs, two counties, actually at the beginning, the study area looked very large, so multiple counties. And so, yes, there were changes in administration. There were changes in the feelings for preserving lands. And we had to balance all that as it moved forward when Fish and Wildlife finally decided to do the assessment.
So there was, I'm hearing there were a lot of moving parts going on there.
Yes, a lot of moving parts.
To put it plainly, yes, things change. And when they change, we had to rework to build relationships. So that, because it was by state and it didn't need approval of many, many agencies.
Yeah, there's so many agencies involved in it. My goodness. Well, we're going to talk more about what people can see there. We can talk about, Steve was mentioning, we can talk about the value of large blocks of land. And of course, we'll take your questions as well as we move along today. Vince Mosca, Stephen Byers, and Nancy Williamson are with the Friends of Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge. We will take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with our guests. But you can join in right now if you want. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge on the show today with our three guests. Vince Mosca, Stephen Byers, and Nancy Williamson are with the Friends of Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge Organization, and I hope you'll join in as we talk with them. So what would you like to know maybe about establishing a wildlife refuge, or maybe you have visited the Hackmatack and want to talk about your experience there? Maybe you have a favorite refuge you'd like to visit. Love to hear from you. You can call us at 1 800 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And Nancy, I mentioned you were all members of Friends of the Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge group. Tell us about that group.
Well, the group was just a grassroots group that started. There were a couple of Renaissance people that helped put it all together, including some of our early founders, Ed Collins, Cindy Skrugrud. They pulled together the right people to investigate and to work on this. And then we brought in organizations and partners that saw the vision, and we worked real hard to get partners to sign on to it, and then moved on to working with county officials and crossing the borders. We brought in, we had Wisconsin, pivotal Wisconsin people that did a lot of, Sarah Schuster, who had a business and an outdoor business in Lake Geneva. And we began to behave as if it existed, to tell you the truth, and put out publications, and just, you know, we believed in it, and we brought in a lot of believers. And like I said, I think Fish and Wildlife was somewhat amused at this small group that was doing this. And then we actually went out, we actually actively lobbied in Washington with this kind of thing. But we did feel strongly that the resources in Walworth County and McHenry County needed to have the addition of a federal interest that could cross the border. And nobody told us to stop, so we kept going.
Well, you know, as I think about this, now we've got this National Wildlife Refuge designation, but there has to be something going on in the way of maintenance or additional work to maintain that designation. I assume if they giveth, they could also taketh away. Stephen, what about it?
Well, you're exactly right, Larry. To date, and actually building upon what Nancy just described, one of the things that the Friends has been able to accomplish is actually build partnerships. You can't protect land anymore without a variety of partners. And we're very proud of our land protection plan, and it identifies 11 other organizations that have pledged to work together to help build the refuge. And for your listeners, some that they may be familiar with would be the Kettle Moraine Land Trust, Geneva Lake Conservancy, Ducks Unlimited, and then, of course, there are other organizations, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, McHenry County Conservation District, but 12 organizations that have pledged to work together. We had a refuge manager for 3 years, Todd Boonstra, who did a great job working with the Friends, working to support the refuge. But he just accepted a position up in Minnesota. And while we're happy for him, we're sorry that he's leaving. But you're right. In terms of management, we have a group with a very strong leadership component with the Friends of Hackmatack. And in fact, I would encourage your listeners to just simply Google Friends of Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge, and they'll get a lot of information about the refuge, some of the history associated with the refuge, but also opportunities to become engaged. And one of the ways that we do that are through some of our stewardship activities.
Okay, and Larry, ultimately we are authorized to build out to almost 12,000 acres, but those acres have to be bought from willing landowners, and you have to have the opportunity for it. And we have our core and corridor concepts to build this linked National Wildlife Refuge. with partnership lands, but ultimately we have to find the funds and work on doing all that. So it's a long, slow process.
Illinois Clean Energy Challenge, but...
Well, one of the ways that we've been able to support management on some of these lands, as Nancy just described, with through the Illinois Clean Energy Challenge Stewardship Challenge Grant, where the Friends applied for and received a grant to move forward, and ultimately we were able to devote roughly $34,000 towards stewardship of a couple of different parcels of land, restoring oak savannas, restoring prairies. But then I also want to point out that because it is a federal refuge, we've been very successful with NOCOD, North American Waterfowl Conservation Act funding opportunities. And we were part of a grant that actually provided for removal of field drain tiles and establishment of prairie on a number of different parcels of land. So as you've described, it's a partnership effort, working with volunteers, working with professionals to provide the habitat for migratory birds, which is one of our primary focus areas.
Yeah. Vince, maybe tell us about the land that the refuge is on and what makes it special.
Well, as was previously mentioned, the refuge is loosely or more directly surrounding the Nipissing Creek watersheds in Walworth and McHenry counties. And it's that sort of that central backbone of the refuge is based on and that watershed. But there's at least 10 distinct habitat types in the refuge, including oak savannas, restored prairies. There's still some active farmland, Nipissing Creek proper, and a lot of the wetland complexes that are part of that riparian corridor. So it's based on Nipissing Creek, but it has a lot of different types of habitats that are all important to kind of work it, together as far as promoting the habitat. And then also one of the things that I think that a refuge like this and the Cacogan Slough up in Bad River is that that scary topic of climate change and what it's going to have, effects on the Midwest, that these larger tracts of land that are brought together, there's a lot of resiliency that's based, on those lands as they work together. And there's like almost 400 feet of elevation change within the Hackmatack assemblage. So that as the weather patterns change and we get more intense storms or the crazy weather that we've been having in the upper Midwest, that resiliency based on all these habitats working together, that different elevations, different soil types, all those things make for a stronger and more sustainable landscape for into the future. Yeah. One of the things that for Wisconsin, the tension zone, which is a famous ecological concept, that sort of lazy line from Eau Claire to Milwaukee, where plant zones change. It's predicted that tension zone might be at the Apostle Islands by the end of the century. So these big landscapes that we're trying to protect will help to then give places a refugia for plants and animals to migrate to, basically, as the landscape changes around them.
Has there been been some sort of work done to identify all the various species that exist within the refuge?
Steve, do you have an idea on the inventories?
Larry, that's a work in progress. What I will tell you is that we know that there are certain assemblages of wildlife associated with grasslands and oak savannas, wetlands, and when we were making the biological case for the refuge with the Fish and Wildlife Service, we demonstrated how protection and restoration of wetlands would support easily over 50% of the priority species identified in their own conservation plans. And so while we don't have a detailed inventory of plants and animals for each of our sites. Certainly we hope to do that, but we do know from an abundance of surveys that have been conducted by the McHenry County Conservation District, we have a good expectation of what will happen and how wildlife species will respond to protection of the land and to its restoration.
So, and somebody else was wondering, does the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service basically take over once you've got this refuge, now that you have this refuge status? It doesn't sound like it to me.
No, you know, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, I tell you, it's been a phenomenal working with them, even though we have to follow their rules, which we do. But we had a refuge manager who was fabulous, and they bring what resources they can. But right now we're not fully staffed up. Someday we're okay to eventually have a nature center. And if you've ever been to any National Wildlife Refuge nature centers, they are fabulous. They are beautiful. And so we hope to have one of those someday. But right now, with looking for a new refuge manager, it's really the Friends of that are doing a lot of the work. And I have to mention, since Vince hasn't been talking a lot, but Vince is really our itinerant Mark Twain. He will talk about Hackmatack to anybody, from small church groups to a conference full of biologists to monarchs and margaritas, which he is famous for in our area. And we are blessed to have board members like Vince who can do that kind of thing to get the word out.
So, Vince, you've been busy with that sort of thing?
It's been very enjoyable. That Monarchs and Margaritas program has sort of taken on a life of its own, but it's a great way of tying open space protection, monarch butterfly, everybody's favorite insect, and North American conservation from Canada to Mexico. And it's been a great conduit to be able to reach out, spread the word about Hackmatack, but then kind of pull it all together on the value of open space protection and what it does for, plants, animals, and people.
I was just thinking about a show we did not too long ago with the author of a book who she followed the butterflies from there on bicycle. She rode her bike all the way from Mexico to Canada and then followed the migration back. You probably would have enjoyed hearing that show for sure. Well, I'm wondering about how people get to know about, if you are driving in that area, I mean, are there signs there? What kind of publicity or what kind of effort? And of course, this program is an example of, now we've made a lot of people aware of Hackmatack through it, but what other ways do you do that, recognize the refuge when somebody gets there, but then also builds the interest to get them there?
Well, the Friends of Hackmatack hold regular public invited meetings. We have, we take them onto parcels frequently that people are, and on pathways that people aren't frequently not allowed to be on, but we get special bird walks, special, looking at parcels that have had stream restorations, taking people to see, the intimate conservation and what can be done. And we also do migratory bird days with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. In the past, we've even had bird banding, which is great for families to see. They can see the birds up close, with great fish and wildlife people that are trained to do that bird banding and talk to people. We just held our Eagle Days at our local dam areas, because eagles are scavengers and basically pretty lazy eaters, and they're going to go where the fish come over and they can grab them easily. And in fact, the area that Steve was at, they had over 18 eagles, which, are coming back to the area, are new, but the public came to see that. And then we hold our big monarch fair in August at a local beach where we have all these families come. In 3.5 hours, we've had over 700 people come through. We were able to hold it this year in that brief pandemic. So we're hoping to hold it again, but it's always on about the second Sunday in August with multiple organizations explaining about monarchs. And we have a Spanish and English quiz, and they go through. And for all these 6 years we've been running it, the local Culvers, if you finish the quiz, they give an ice cream, you know, we have ice cream chip to give for everybody to go get ice cream. So you know, the Crystal Lake Culvers has been fabulous that way.
So let's say that I'm in Milwaukee and I want to go out and do something in the out of doors. Are there places within the refuge where I could, let's say, snowshoe? We were just talking about snowshoeing or cross-country skiing, or what are the various activities, maybe, Stephen, that people could actually take part in?
Yeah, there are actually several. The one that I would just direct your listeners to is the Turner Parcel located off of Highway H between Genoa City and Lake Geneva. That's open to the public for those types of activities that you've just described. And that's a property that has been conveyed to the Fish and Wildlife Service. And then just south of Richmond in Illinois, along the Prairie Path, there's another public opening there where people traveling up and down the Prairie Path can stop in. There's a picnic table. They can view the property, walk the property. But also, there are lots of opportunities for your public to enjoy the outdoors at sites owned by our land protection partners, like the McHenry County Conservation District. Glacial Park is a great example of where families could come. There's an indoor area with a museum, lots of hiking trails where people could strap on some snowshoes or try skis and get out and enjoy the outdoors as well. So there are many different venues that are available. And the other thing that I wanted to point out, I'd mentioned it earlier, if your listeners Google Friends of Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge, they'll eventually get to our schedule of events for this year, 2022, and it includes the World Migratory Bird Day. And I would invite your listeners to think about attending the hike at the Turner Parcel, the property that I just described to you. That will be a hike that's open to the public on May 14th. So there are also other documents on the website entitled How to Visit Hackmatack, and it would lead your listeners to properties that are open to the public where they can enjoy the outdoors.
And since you know, this is a national wildlife refuge, is there any fees involved, or are there a sort of a sticker or stamp, you know, some kind of refuge stamp that you need, or can you just drive there and go in?
Yes, it's free. You can just go in and enjoy it.
And that would also be true for the Glacial Park owned by the McHenry County Conservation District.
So there's plenty of opportunities from the sound of it, and the fact that it's free, I think, is great. And so again, I think we have a link on today's the notes from today's program, but it's Hackmatack. If you Google in Hackmatack,
Friends of Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge.
Friends of Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge. You're going to go in. Well, now what's Vince, what's your favorite place, spot on at Hackmatack?
I live on the western end of Kenosha County, and so I'm not too far from the Turner Parcel, but the complex on Glacial Park, as Steve has mentioned, down in McHenry County, it's just a special place. It's a large piece of land. There's been a huge amount of restoration on there. There's leatherleaf bogs, which are very rare in northern Illinois. So that's one of my favorite places. But the Nipissing Creek corridors themselves. They go all the way from, you know, western Kenosha County, Walworth County, down into the into Illinois, and ultimately drain into the what we call the Illinois Fox, as opposed to the Fox. But that whole corridor is just really special. It's got a lot of groundwater, very rich in freshwater mussels. So that whole corridor is just really special and worthy of protection.
Well, I'm glad we had the chance to talk about the refuge with the three of you today. It was a wonderful conversation, and thanks so much for being with us. And hopefully we'll get a chance to do this again. Thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry.
Larry, thanks, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Vince Mosca, Stephen Byers, and Nancy Williamson, our guests today. They are with the Friends of Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge Organization. It's a great story, isn't it? And looks like a great opportunity for me and for you to visit and take it all in. Great to talk with you. Just a look ahead tomorrow, Chad Spade's back to talk about remodeling, restoring, and expanding your home, and we'll take your other home improvement questions as well. That's tomorrow in the Ideas, on the Ideas Network at 11. In the meantime, hey, why not stay with us? Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.